Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of the OI. I'm joined this evening by play-by-play announcer for the Georgetown Raiders, also with Ringside, which covers the OJHL. Alan Corkum, how you doing this evening, my friend?
I'm not doing too bad, Jamie. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. As you can see, I know the viewers won't be able to see this video as we record audio only. I'm wearing a very beautiful Boston Bruins hat, circa maybe 1960 or so. And we lost to the Americans. As you know, Team Canada lost to the States in the World Junior Hockey Championships. And then we also lost to Title Town Takes. So myself, James and Kyle being on offside, we're now having to dance around in dresses and wearing Bruins stuff as we are the losers, unfortunately. But hey, huge shout out to Cam Connor and Ian over at Title Town Takes. Amazing interviews in 2020, and as I mentioned in an earlier video, they'll have even greater interviews in 2021. So hey, shout out to you guys over at Title Town Takes, and for people following offside and who are watching, listening in, give those guys a follow. Lots to talk about in Beantown, New England Patriots, Boston Bruins, and Boston Celtics. So give those guys a follow at Title Town Takes. All the information will be on my Twitter when this posts. How's everything in Ontario, Alan?
Well, it is what it is, I guess you could say. I mean, the numbers are up between 3,000 and 4,000 every day with COVID, and we're still in lockdown and no hockey as of yet. Well, we're going to have the NHL, at least Toronto and Ottawa will get started on Wednesday night to at least play Montreal. But I mean, all the amateur leagues like Junior A, which I cover, Junior B, all the midget, any other hockey, OHL, we're still on hiatus. We're waiting to see what's going to happen, but right now, the way it's going, I'm very pessimistic of this season. I'm hoping maybe you could just start fresh in the get the training camps going in the summer and then maybe start up September next year. But nothing's been definite as of yet. We're still waiting for word from the leagues, but it's been pretty well crickets from the commissioner of the OJHL, Marty Savoy, and all his staff and all the higher-ups in the league. There's been nothing really said on Twitter, on the internet. There's last interviews he's had was back in like November, early December, but I mean, I think with all the numbers up and the health and safety board saying stay home and all that, and they're not letting anybody on the ice, I think it's pretty well a lost cause unless things change within the next month and a half.
So are you optimistic that the OJHL will start, like yourself and myself, we've covered the MHL offside. We're always keeping up with the OJ, OHL, MHL. With all the trades happening, all the players being shipped from the OJ into the MHL and not a lot going back, as we've seen today, player development fees, whether it's a bag of pucks or whether it's pylons for practice or whatever's being shifted the other way, it doesn't seem to look good for the OJ, OHL. We won't even get into the WHL, as we're just going to have a very short episode right here. But the WHL did announce 24 games. We Junior B was 20 games, and we're having a hard time trying to figure out how to play 12 more games, so 12 or 13 or so. Can you just maybe give those people listening your take on the WHL, the 24 games or so, and maybe will that work in the OHL?
I think it would definitely work because, as they say, something is better than nothing. Some hockey, even if there's going to be, you know, no fans allowed, just like the players playing on the ice like they do with the NHL will be starting. I think anything will be better than nothing. I hope there's maybe an added presence of, I think Rogers or somebody has a package for all the OHL games. Maybe there'll be an added presence for getting games on, you know, Sportsnet, or I think they have the rights to the CHL, so maybe they can get some made-for-TV games just to get exposure to let people see hockey. It'd be great. I think, something would be better than nothing, but it's hard to say. I think they were targeting starting in February, but there's been nothing really said by the OHL since the turn of the year to 2021, so we'll have to see. But, yeah, I think fans would be happy. The players, coaches, everybody involved with the OHL would be happy with the 24-game season or anything right now. just to get hockey going. I think they'll probably be one of the last leagues to throw in the towel. I think you'll see the league that I cover, the OJHL or the Junior B leagues or all the other Junior A leagues, probably make announcements first about the continuation of season before the OHL finally decides maybe to say no go for this season.
Darren Dreger mentioned today he was on an interview with someone I watch. It's uncertain all across Canada with hockey being played. Biggest thing he said was player development. You know, we're not getting we're not getting to see Connor Bedard, Shane Wright, who I would love to see, Kingston Frontenacs. So yeah, it's uncertain all across the board. And like I said, we won't dive into this issue much longer. Like we've been kind of picking at it in the last month or so. We will shift to NHL, as I did want you on to talk Leafs. I know we had some Leafs talk Monday, today being Monday. This episode will drop Wednesday. So by the time this episode drops, all NHL rosters should be finalized. I know today being Monday, you had to go through waivers. And then tomorrow is taxi squads and finalization of rosters and all that good stuff. Are you surprised with today's news of the Corey Perry news that Bergevin, I believe, is the GM in Montreal, Corey Perry on waivers? Are you surprised with that move?
A little bit. They also put Michael Frolik on waivers as well, Montreal did. Like, he's another name that just signed, like another veteran to bring in. Little surprised to see him maybe on the waiver list, but there were a number of other names too, as we tape here on Monday, Jamie, that were, for Gideon and Quinn, you know, our friends also to come on your show, the OI and Offside Hockey Talk. A couple of surprising names from Vancouver were put on waivers as well. Louis Erickson and Sven Berchi.
Oh, wow.
This is more about the money, I think, is a lot of these players that are put on waivers have high salaries and
underachievers making a significant amount of money.
Yeah, exactly. Like Montreal are hoping, like I know I heard a quick clip from Claude Julien, their head coach, and they're hoping Perry gets back. They're just unfortunately had to do this as a formality just to try to clear him. They're hoping he's back at least on the taxi squad, as you mentioned. But I mean, we'll have to see. A couple other names familiar. I'm just looking at the list as we speak here. Like Tyler Johnson was placed on waivers by Tampa Bay. Luke Shen,
he would look good in Vancouver. Sorry to interrupt you there, Alan. Quinn, hey, and Gideon are probably going to listen to this once it drops. Tyler Johnson, wouldn't he look good in a Vancouver Canucks jersey?
He would as well, yeah. The money's a thing with him as well. I don't know, like I said, teams with the salary cap. Like you might see a team like Ottawa try to jump at somebody like that because they have lots of salary cap space. They've already made a couple of moves for some veterans like Braden Coper from Tampa. They pick up Cedric Paquette. I think they brought in Derek Stepan as well. So there's a lot of salaries for Ottawa. So maybe somebody like that you might see in a center jersey before a Canucks. Probably going to be, if anybody. But I think you'll see a lot of these players clear because of the salary. It'll scare a lot of people away. Another name that's kind of big, it's a $4 million cap hit that got put on waivers, was Matthew Perreault from the Jets. So he'd be a good veteran as well. But, I mean, there's a lot of names. We'll see what happens. But I think, as you said, like I think I saw a tweet earlier today from you, like for maybe the Leafs would jump at Corey Perry. But I think Perry will be staying in Montreal. I don't know if anybody will take a chance. You never know with the salary because he's a good veteran, definitely a good veteran presence on a young team that's wanting to maybe jump in the playoffs.
Darren Dreger also mentioned Corey Perry's name, and it'd be foolish to allow the guy to be put on waivers for $750,000 at any team right now. I know it's a flat cap, but if someone's got $800,000 and they need Stanley Cup experience, Corey Perry's your guy. Does he fit on the Toronto Maple Leafs roster? No, because right now it's Barabanov, however you pronounce his last name, fighting for a position on the fourth line with Simmons and Spezza, right? So no room for Corey Perry. We've got Joe Thornton, he's up the middle. He's helping Matthews, helping Marner. He serves a bigger purpose than Corey Perry. Corey Perry was good 2011, 2012 was kind of where he had his best season. But, hey, I think it's a gamble on Claude Julien and Bergevin's end. They're hoping he doesn't get picked up. But With a COVID-ridden season and taxi squads, is there a position for Corey Perry? But, hey, he's not a Toronto Maple Leaf, so shifting gears over to the Leafs, what's your take on or what do you guys say about the Saturday night scrimmage? I know I talked to some Leaf alumni in the last couple of days after the game, and they said it was a mess, and they love Robertson. People aren't sure if he's going to play on the fourth line. Adam Brooks looked very good. He's on the taxi squad, though, I believe. And Boyd, he also played well. I believe he'll be on that taxi squad either. It's the number, I believe, it's 4 to 6 players on each team's taxi squad. Just give me your take on that game on Saturday.
Yeah, it wasn't the flashiest game in the world, but it was just to get the legs fresh in a game. It was more made for TV. I see a lot of teams have been doing that. Like, I see Montreal had a game. Their red-white game was on RDS in Quebec, and I think some other games have been shown just to get exposure. It's too bad it couldn't have an exhibition game or two before the season starts against, like, an opponent. Like, you think Toronto would play Ottawa, Ottawa play Montreal, Toronto play Montreal, you know. Just, it'd be better to have an opponent like that to know, but I mean, it was good to see Thornton. Maybe he'll be rejuvenated, his old legs. He's getting up there in age for hockey terms, but he looks like he's been rejuvenated a little bit by all the youth with Marner and Matthews and Tavares and Nylander, so maybe that'll help Thornton a little bit. Another player has kind of been a little bit under the radar in the training camp and might be looking for redemption because he was, I think, a Hobie Baker winner, or at least up for it a couple of years ago, was Jimmy Vesey, who they picked up from Buffalo.
Yeah, I think he played over in New York as well.
Yeah. So he's somebody that maybe could be a spoiler for them. He's looking for a contract. Like, I know a couple of years ago, you had Tyler Ennis. They brought in, like, somebody looking for redemption, brought in on a cheap contract. You know, it might be a low risk, but it might be a high reward for the Leafs. We'll have to see what happens. But they got some youth. They got some sandpaper now. It's just going to be up to the team to see if they can finally get over the hump in the playoffs. I mean, they have good regular seasons. I think they'll be top four. I'm not saying they'll win the Canadian division, but I think they'll definitely be in the top four in the playoffs. Now the next is, can they get over that hump and win a playoff round? We'll see what happens if they get the goaltending.
I'm going to mention the goaltending. A lot of people threw Anderson under the bus because Campbell did seem like he played better in that scrimmage. A couple of players. Let's start off with Lehtinen. A lot of people didn't like him on the line that he started. started with. It was Brody and Riley. A lot of people want Riley and Lehtinen together, and Riley and Brody didn't play that well. And like I just mentioned, a lot of alumni who I spoke to today, Sunday into Monday, said, you know, that was a mess. We don't really know who's going to play where, but right now, as it does show on the offside Twitter account, that, you know, the team is there, the lineup, maybe, well, Brooks and Boyd, they get taken off that opening day roster. And I think it's Bibarinov, Simmons, and Spezza. And then Bibarinov, however you pronounce his last name, doesn't achieve what the coaches want. Then, hey, Robertson gets that position. He'll move up and move around. And it'll be really neat to see Matthews on the penalty kill. He's about 55% on faceoffs. So that helped tremendously on penalty kills. And just give me your take on Lehtinen on the back end from what you saw on Saturday.
Well, I think he looked okay. I think he's got to take a little time to get used to the North American game. He's been used to playing in the KHL and really hasn't a lot of exposure. So it's a different league, and North American style might be a bit different for him. But I think he might become accustomed to it easily. We'll have to see. I mean, it's going to be trial by error for a lot of these players. Instead, it was a sloppy scrimmage game, but I mean, you're just trying to get their feet. Once they get a couple of games in, you'll see what the real teams are made of. Like when Toronto plays Montreal on Wednesday night, then they got a back-to-back in Ottawa on the weekend. So I mean, it's going to be all for all these teams, Ottawa, Montreal, all the other Canadian teams and all other teams in the NHL. It's going to be trial and error to see how everybody matches up with lines. It's probably going to be, as we always hear the line on the games media, they say, put your lines in the blender. I think you might see a lot of that for every team, the first off, just to see what's going to work, what's going to be the magic formula to try to get W's and points. And I think Lehtinen will fit in. I think he's more, probably at best, a star would be a third, fourth defense, but I think you got to have Brody and Riley as your top two. That's that's who's bringing in all the money. But I mean, some other good defensemen. Muzzin, if he gets back healthy, is in there as well. And Lettinen, Dermott's in there. And you got Bogosian, another veteran they picked up in the offseason. He, you know, he's been off and on his game. Sometimes he gets criticized for his game. But I think it's a decent veteran pickup for Toronto to get some help on the back end. Because, I mean, he brings an experience. He won the Cup with Tampa Bay in the bubble. So, I mean, it's somebody I wouldn't mind to see Toronto get in a couple of years ago. I thought when he was put on waivers there by Buffalo that maybe Toronto should take a chance on him. But he ended up going to Tampa. Now he's in Toronto. So let's see what he does. A lot of these guys are on one-year deals, like Bogosian and Thornton, and I think Simmons even a one-year deal in Vesti. So it's like redemption projects for Kyle Dubas. It might work, it might not, but let's see what happens.
He never had the pieces. Now all of a sudden the pieces are available, and people are saying, "Wow, you got the gray beards, and you know this power play is brought to you by Hair Care for Men, because it's all gray bearded old guys on the ice, right?" So. As of right now, we kind of see Robertson on the outside looking in. How do you not play the guy? Look at that shot on Saturday. But they want to give
Barbarov, I think it is. Yeah. It's a hard one.
Leaf Brass want to give that guy a chance. And yeah, like you just said, we never had that opportunity. I haven't been this excited in 20 years since, you know, the Leafs played 93, 94. And, yeah, it was disappointing years, but, you know, Leafs fans are finally now excited through lines 1-4, back end. If we get some solid goaltending, a lot of reporters have said, you know, they're skeptical. The Leafs will do great in the regular season, but fail in the playoffs. Montreal did improve the most. They probably won't have a good regular season, but then hey, they'll tear it up in the playoffs. But you know, they got 8 or 10 guys over 6 feet, and I can't even think of one player under 6'2". Maybe Gallagher is the shortest guy in the team, and yeah, they got Toffoli and Anderson and Shea Weber, a lot of big names. Yep. So we'll just talk about that game this Wednesday. Like, how do you think Toronto matches up with the Habs, and maybe give a score prediction for that game Wednesday night?
It's going to be an interesting game. I'm not a big Montreal fan, but I give them credit for their offseason moves. You know, Joel Edmondson coming in, they brought him in. Jake Allen, a very good backup for Carey Price, the two strong goalies in Montreal. They got Josh Anderson in a trade for Max Domi, a little known fact maybe for some of our listeners. Josh's younger brother, Jordan, actually played for the Georgetown Raiders. He was under Buckland Cup championship team back in 2017, got the call that. So a little shout out to the Andersons, but yeah, he's going to bring a good size presence. And then Shea Weber's there, and they also brought in Tyler Toffoli. So Montreal's going to give him a good game, but he said it doesn't matter what teams are on the ice, Montreal and Toronto, they always play close games. It's always a tight battle, Anderson against Price, Matthews against Gallagher. We'll have to see all the matchups in that. Score prediction, I'm going to go 4-3 Leafs in overtime.
I was going the same way. I believe I know this is a Leafs show. We want to keep Leafs in the conversation, but you know, I believe Suzuki's going to have a good game. So
yes,
I'm going to ask your two players, I guess players of the game for each team. I go with Suzuki on Montreal, and I'm going to go with Marner on the Leafs. It's unfortunate. I don't think we'll see Robertson. I'm really excited to see him in the World Juniors. I strongly believe right now Robertson's pissed off. He never got to play World Juniors. And he's like, well, fine. My guys or my friends just won a gold medal. I'm here, right? I'm here in Leafs camp. I got something to prove. You obviously want me to stay here. I got something to prove. I don't want to be on the taxi squad. And he was lights out on Saturday. Nice big shot. And, man, like, I think he's pissed off and he wants to play because wasn't given that chance to play in the United States gold medal game and throughout the whole World Juniors. So don't think Robertson's going to play. He would have been my player of the game for the Leafs, but I'm going with Marner and Suzuki. Obviously we'll see Carey Price, Freddie Anderson. And like I just said, the offside Twitter account there will have the lineups leading up to game day. And hey, as always, James is going to jack up the Offside Nation followers pregame. So, anything else you'd like to add, Alan, to tonight's special Leafs pre season opener episode?
No, I think it's gonna. I think it's pretty straightforward. I think it's gonna be a great game. Montreal Toronto. It's gonna be nice to see NHL hockey back. A bit of a break for all of us trying to battle through COVID. I know there's some special rules for NHLers compared to other hockey organizations, like the one you do in Junior B in Nova Scotia and the one I cover up here. But let's enjoy the hockey. It should be fun, and just everybody stay safe and stay at home. And hopefully, we'll get back. All of us will get back to the rink sooner than later.
No, you're absolutely right, sir. And this episode has been brought to you by Titletown Takes. Boys over at Titletown Takes, Ian, Cam, and Connor. Yeah, we lost the bet. Team USA lost to Team One. Sorry. Team USA beat Canada in the 2021 World Juniors, and now we've got to eat it. So, anyways,
I will congratulate the USA myself. They beat Canada their own game. I thought they played strong two-way play and strong goaltending, but Devin Levi was a great story, and Spencer Knight just so golden. And yep, congratulations to the USA, but Canada has nothing to be ashamed of.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special episode of the OI with Jamie Anstey. I'm joined this evening by my man, Quinn Donovan. Quinn, man, what's going on?
Not much, Matt. How you doing?
Hey, we've got lower cases here in the mainland compared to you guys out west. So, hey, I'm just going to leave it at that. And I as always, I hope you guys always stay safe throughout this 2021 and NHL season. So let's get at it. We'll go through the North Division. So just give me your predictions on 1-7 in the All-Canadian North Scotia Division in this year's 2021 NHL season.
All right. Well, my 1-3 are going to be Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver in that order. I think Calgary's made a huge, huge pickup in terms of picking up Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev from the Canucks' backyard, obviously. Edmonton's always dangerous. The only problem is Edmonton's gotten nothing in goal, so McDavid and Draisaitl are going to have to do the majority of the heavy lifting. And Vancouver really, really did well in the bubble playoffs. Demko emerged as ready to go with this team. He's ready to lead. Picking up Holtby in the offseason was huge. Picking up Schmidt for a third rounder was probably the biggest steal that JB ever made thus far in his tenure. So that was huge. And we've got some really, really good rookie talent coming up. Nils Höglander is going to be playing tonight. So that's going to be good. Yolevi's finally crossed and he's on the 23-man roster. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. In terms of 4-7, I've got Winnipeg because I've got family in Manitoba. I've got them at 4. Hellebuck's good, but you know, Winnipeg has really got to, they got to sort out the line ace situation before they get on any solid footing to get anywhere. In terms of 5, I've got Montreal. That's my dad's team. They've made some solid pickups in Tyler Toffoli. The only problem is Carey Price is still getting older and they got nothing to replace him. I believe they picked up, I can't remember the name of the backup goalie they got, but
which bad, team are you talking about, Quinn?
Sorry. Montreal, the Canadiens.
Oh, Jake Allen.
Jake Allen. Jake Allen's not bad, but I mean, we know for a fact that from his history in St. Louis, he's had head problems. And Montreal is definitely a tough place if you're looking to get your mental health sorted out, especially because they demand excellence. I mean, when you've got 24 Stanley Cups hanging from your rafters, they demand excellence, and they demand excellence every single season. And if you don't give it to Montreal fans, they're very, 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 very quick to let you know about it in certain, no uncertain terms. Toronto, I've got number 6, and I know you're going to hate me for that, but that's more just because I don't, you know, you have to wonder at some point if the Dubas experiment is going to wear off. Sure, he hit well with Marner. He hit well with Matthews. He's got a decent player in Nylander, and he's picked up some decent players on the defense. But at some point, this whole sabermetrics experiment has to fail, just as it did with the Oakland A's when they were playing Moneyball. As to how long it's going to work, I don't know. And of course, the dumpster fire that is the Ottawa Senators, I've got them at 7. because Eugene Melnyk, among other things, recently came out and said they put together a safety plan to get fans, up to 6,000 fans in the Canadian Tire Center. The only problem is he's only drawing 3,000 fans a game. So that's where I am with that. So that's my seven for the Canadian division. Or sorry, the North Division, as what is it, the Scotiabank North Division? Yeah, Scotiabank North Division. Yeah.
Your one through seven is obviously different than what we've heard from TSN panelists, Sportsnet panelists. Everyone's not going to be the same. Everyone's going to have their own opinion. But at the end of the day, hey, it's probably not going to pan out. Your one to seven may not may be different. I've got your Vancouver Canucks at number six. I had my prediction video posted last night, and I did mention I'll probably lose Quinn and Gideon as friends on Twitter because I put you guys at number six.
Brother, you're never going to lose us as friends. Just because we disagree, it is what it is. I
mean, and that's the beauty of controversy, and you know, everyone's opinion, they're entitled to their opinion, and that's what makes talking hockey great. Not everyone's going to be on the same page. If you're all on the same page, that's really the recipe for some boring content, in my opinion. But hey, I did hear this week maybe that Demko is going to be the starting goaltender. I'm not 100% sure. I heard it from a podcast in Vancouver. It's a bunch of guys that have started up this podcast, and they said they think Demko's in nets for Vancouver. Is that true? Have you heard differently?
I haven't heard differently in that regard, but I could see them doing a 31-25 split between right. Demko and Holtby. I don't think Demko's 100% ready to, you know, carry the load of the games, but it's only a 56-game season, right? So I could see them going 31-25, Demko getting the six more games, and the main reason for that is because, first off, you've got a lot of back-to-backs, you've got a lot of triple headers, not to mention, by going 31-25, your goaltender tandem qualifies for the Jennings Trophy, and I think that would be a good thing for both Demko and Holtby to get, provide Holtby can get his game back, and I don't see any reason why he can't. I mean, now that all of this stuff regarding his mask and his turtles and all that stuff is over, no longer having to deal with, we can concentrate on what's important, which is the hockey on the ice. However, it did recently come out that Jordy Benn and JT Miller are currently in quarantine due to COVID. Apparently, Jordy Benn tested on Sunday, had a false negative, tested again on Monday, had a false negative, and then popped positive on Tuesday. Miller's been staying with him and spending some time with him, so both of them are currently in quarantine. Ben is expected back in 10 days, according to the NHL rules. Miller is out for 14, so that's going to give a lot of guys like Holtglander a chance to work with the first line, work with Brock and Pettersson, preferably on the power play, so that will be spectacular to watch starting tonight. In terms of how Green is going to juggle the lineup, it's going to be very, very interesting without two of his bigger, well, in one of his bigger guns in terms of JT Miller on the first line wing.
I did see on Twitter, I can't find it, the podcast did say Demko is going to play in their first game. I'm not sure when they do play.
Tonight against Edmonton, 7
p.m. Have you heard? Of the starting goalies, like they did say, Demko has the nod for tonight. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but
Coach Green is keeping the starting lineups close to the vest. I know for a fact Winnipeg, Toronto, Calgary, and I think Edmonton announced theirs today. The other three have not announced theirs as of yet.
I assume Edmonton is going to play Koskinen tonight. Or Mike?
As far as I know, yeah. As far as I know, it's going to be either Koskinen or whom they picked up recently. Let me have a look at their list. One sec. Okay.
As you look for that, I'm just going to run down my 1-7. And
oh yeah, definitely.
So I've got Toronto number one. I know this is a Leaf podcast. We love talking about our Leafs. You know, look at James. He's blowing up Twitter right now in a Leafs jersey. Even though if I put Toronto number two, I won't be fired. I won't be saying, hey, you're off the team. Clarkie over at the RP show, producer Clark, put the Leafs at number two, Montreal number one. But I've found a good source for a lot of Leaf talk. So I'm going with my guy. I'm not going to mention names, but I'm with this dude, and I'm going to go with Toronto number one, Montreal's number two, Calgary's number three, and got to go with my boy Dusty and his Edmonton Oilers number four. Sorry to my friend out in Winnipeg, John Ohm. I've got the Winnipeg Jets in number five. And like I mentioned last night in my prediction video, sorry, dude, I've got the Canucks at number six. And hate to do this, but every panelist that I've talked to has Ottawa at number seven across the board. I hate to do it. I love Ottawa. Love going to see Boston, Toronto in Ottawa. But, hey, someone's got to be seventh. And unfortunately, it's the Ottawa Senators. But they may surprise a lot of people. Matt Murray and Nets. I talked to a good source today in Ottawa. Stutzel's going to play on the second line, left wing. He's going to be a very promising young player to watch. So, hey, Ottawa's going to be an up-and-coming team in the next couple of years. Do they get to maybe fifth place? You're right. The Winnipeg Jets have that Patrick Laine situation. I believe Brian Little is still on the long-term injury list. They've got Blake Wheeler. They've got Ehlers. They've got Scheifele, potential Vezina Trophy winner, and Connor Hellebuyck. He's not going to win, though. I believe it's going to be Vasilevsky. We'll get to hardware momentarily, but that's my 1-7. As far as why I picked Toronto number one, they're going to be a very good team throughout this regular season, but possibly fail in the playoffs. Montreal's going to come out on top by a lot of people to win the North, but I've got Toronto at number one, and Montreal's going to have a very stellar playoff run. They've got the best goalie in the league besides Vasilevsky, Hellebuyck, and Carey Price. So, that's my 1-7, and you're absolutely right. Edmonton right now, it's a crapshoot. Who comes out on top as number one goaltender, Mike Smith or Mikko Koskinen? So Calgary's got Markstrom, Carey Price in Montreal, Hellebuyck in Winnipeg, and you've got a really good tandem in Vancouver, Holtby and Thatcher Demko, and unfortunately right now it's a one-man show in Ottawa with Matt Murray. So that's my 1-7. And did you have anything else to add? Did you find what you were looking for there?
I didn't find the Oilers opening day roster. I've got the others. I've got Montreal. I've got Toronto. I've got Winnipeg. I've got Calgary. I've got Ottawa. And I've got Vancouver. The Oilers apparently haven't released theirs as of yet. But I can run through. We can run through what we've got thus far. So
yeah, I got Edmonton's popped up here. They've got their projected opening night lineup. They got Koskinen starting. Top line D, they got Darnell Nurse, Ethan Bear, Caleb Jones, Adam Larson, Slater Cuckoo. I believe he came over from the Blackhawks. And they got Tyson Barrie. Everyone in Leafland knows Tyson Barrie. Their top line is Nuge, Connor McDavid, Zach Cassian. Second line is Dominic Cahoon, Leon Draisaitl, Yamamoto. Okay, I think I pronounced that correctly. Josh Archibald, Kyle Turris, Jesse Puljujärvi, Tyler Ennis, Carey Hari, and Alex Chiasson round out the lineup for the Edmonton Oilers. So.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, yeah, it's as expected. I mean, we expected Koskinen to be the guy. I mean, we all understand that Mike Smith is towards the back end of his career. I mean, he's been in the league, quite a number of years now. So, and you could say what you want about goaltenders being developing considerably older. But at the same time, everybody knows that your body at some point is going to fail you.
His best days were in Phoenix, if you were able to agree with that.
Oh, I totally agree with that, 100%. I mean, he did all right in Calgary, but it wasn't like a Mika Kiprusoff type situation where he left San Jose, went to Calgary, and had a considerably better career than he had in San Jose. Mike Smith was at one point, was for all intents and purposes the goalie of the Phoenix Coyotes, and for any success that they had, he is more than credible for that, of course.
You got Calgary's projected lineup in front of you, Quinn?
I do.
Yep. Go ahead.
All right. So no surprising anybody, but Markstrom is going to be their goaltender. Of course, their backup. Let me just grab it here.
David Rittich.
Rittich, yes. Trevor Rittich. Right, right, right. Yeah.
David Rittich.
Is it David? Okay, my bad. But yeah, they've got Markstrom first, Rittich behind him. Defense, they've got Anderson and Nesterov, Giordano and Tanev, Hanifin and Valimaki. Then the forwards, they got Backlund, Lucic, Bennett, Mangiapane, Dubé, Monahan, Goodrow, Norstrom, Levo, Simon, Lindholm, and Tkachuk. So again, Levo leaving Vancouver, going to Calgary. And of course, speaking of pickups by Vancouver, they just signed Hamonich for a one-year deal.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here shortly. I have a question. Josh Levo coming from the Leafs, going to Vancouver. Just talk about Levo and what you saw in his game during his time in Vancouver.
Straight up hard worker. Like, this is a lunch pail guy. First to come, last to leave. Brings his lunch pail every single game, busts his ass. I mean, this is a guy who broke his leg in Vancouver and was completely heartbroken in the fact they couldn't play in the playoffs. He couldn't help his team. That's a guy you want. That's a guy that Calgary is going to suddenly realize that this is like an Alex Burrows type guy, not in terms of being a pest or a pain in the ass or anything like that, but in terms of the work ethic. Josh Levo has that work ethic. Trust me, that's a huge loss for us Vancouver Canucks fans. And Calgary is going to benefit from that. The Sea of Red, no doubt, is going to pick up a few Levo jerseys because they're going to see this kid. They're going to see him put in the work, and they're going to fall in love with him just as we did. So good pickup by Calgary.
No, I agree 100%. I'm gonna start off with the Winnipeg Jets here. They got Connor Hellebuck in Nets. Gonna start Thursday. They have their start dates on Thursday. As we talk about the Jets, they have a scenario coming up where they play 5 games in 7 days. I assume that's gonna happen throughout the season for all Canadian teams. How do you think that's going to fare the Vancouver Canucks and maybe some of their top players? Like, how do you think Vancouver's going to playing 5 games in 7 days?
Well, there's going to be a lot of game management this year. There's going to be a lot of guys with the taxi squad. Now, we do have the ability to bring guys out and bring guys in as we need them. So you're going to see nights where certain players are going to be rested. I'm not talking about your big three. I'm not talking Pettersson, Besser, Hughes or Horvat for that matter, but like your other players, your secondaries, your Gaudette, your Virtanens, those guys you're going to see, there are some nights where they're going to have the night off, and it's mainly because, and maybe it'll be good for Jake. Then again, maybe not if he's in Montreal or something like that, provide there's a lockdown going on. But you're going to see with the taxi squad, there's going to be a lot of subbing in and subbing out. Of course, we're still in the age of COVID, so we have to deal with that as well. The NHL, of course, just announced yesterday that they've had 27 positive COVID tests. 17 of those are on the Dallas Stars. So that's going to be something that's really, really going to figure in. They've actually had to bump the Dallas Stars to the 19th, I think, is when they start. Because of what's happened. So that's something that's going to figure in. So it's not only going to be a taxi squad COVID type situation, but it's going to be a taxi squad game management situation. So you're going to be seeing guys who are going to be primarily secondary players are going to be subbed out fairly regularly. And that's something we all got to expect and got to be getting used to be honest, because it's for the betterment of the players and the betterment of the game.
Yeah, and Sheldon Keefe said it best today. He's going with the Steve Nash mentality with him and his Brooklyn Nets. Even though you're on a taxi squad, be ready. We're playing the be ready mentality. And, yeah, what a gamble on Montreal's part. As all the analysts had said, Corey Perry, I know we're jumping to Montreal Canadiens. We'll get to the Jets projected lineup here in 1 second.
Dude, it's all good. I just heard Brooklyn apparently traded for James Harden. So Harden's being reunited with Durant and Kyrie Irving. Wow. So that's a huge trade, and it's a massive trade. I mean, we're talking like 8 picks.
He was pissed off. He wasn't happy in Houston. Yeah. So that's That's definitely some basketball talk for down the road. But everyone's surprised that Corey Perry went on waivers, but we'll talk about that here shortly. But I've got the Jets projected lineup right in front of my face. To get Hellebuck is obviously going to be the number one starter. Laurent Brossoir, sorry for the mispronunciation.
Brossoir.
Yeah, Brossoir.
As my son calls him, Bouchla.
The Winnipeg Jets backup goaltender for their tilt Thursday night. They got Josh Morrissey, Tucker Poolman, Derek Forbort, Neil Poyonk, Nathan Beaulieu, Dylan DeMello, and Sammy Kiku is the odd guy. He'll be the 7th D, according to TSN's projected opening night roster. Nick Ehlers, great to see Ehlers, former Moosehead, paired with Scheifele and Wheeler. Going to be a dynamic line. It's too bad we can't see line A play with Scheifele and Wheeler, but you've got to spread out the top players. Kyle Connor, Paul Stastny, and Patrick Laine on the second. Kopp, Lowry, and Appleton on the third. Matthew Perreault, who did clear waivers, and is on the fourth line. Nate Thompson, Trevor Lewis, big guy, comes over from the LA Kings, and Jason Harkins rounds out the projected opening night roster for the Winnipeg Jets. Talk about the Winnipeg Jets. Who do you see standing out in some of their big players for this upcoming season?
There's a few players, and it's not so much who's going to stand out, but it's who is expected to stand out. In terms of Nikolai Ehlers, Ehlers is due for a big season. We know the kid's got wheels. We know the kid has ability. And at some point, he's got to put it together, and he's got to be able to pot a 20 to 30 goal season. Patrick Laine, I mean, we've all heard what's happening with Patrick Laine right now. Winnipeg is shopping him to the East. They're looking at either Carolina, and I think today it came down, I'm trying to think of the name of the team, but there was a particular team that Laine was linked with.
I think it was Columbus. I think it was.
Well, right. The Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. Yeah, right.
Isn't the GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets finished?
He might be. After
yeah, so maybe, there's, maybe there's that connection there. Maybe they have some connection to World Juniors or World Championships, but it seems like the guys that are having problems are going to Columbus. Look at Max Domi. He goes over to Columbus. Not saying Max Domi is a cancer, and not saying Laine is a cancer, but, you know, it seems like everyone shipped off to Columbus, you know, to maybe tune up their game or whatever. But
Torts has a history of getting players who are underperforming to be performers. Like, I mean, you've seen what he did with Seth Jones. Seth Jones was a highly regarded defensive prospect, had been for years, really didn't do much in Nashville, but went to Columbus, and now he's, you know, the top pairing. So Ehlers, I could see fit, you know, or a line I could see fit with Columbus. Winnipeg getting Pierre-Luc Dubois back would be huge. That would be a huge item. The only problem is that Pierre-Luc Dubois was recently signed to a new $10 million deal. So you've got to figure that into your cap and as to how that's going to go. I think Linus just coming off of his, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's just coming off of his ELC. I may be wrong about that. Most likely I am because it's hockey. But Ehlers is expected to have a huge year. In my opinion, he needs to have a huge year. Scheifele, I fully expect to step up. And, you know, there are a lot of guys on that Winnipeg young core where they're going to have to really step up their game. They're going to have to work even that much harder in order to make it a point of, you know, when it comes down to it, when the fans come back, you know, they want to be able to say, where's, you know, as opposed, they want to be able to say Patrick who, as opposed to where's Patrick, you know, I mean, that's
well, if he goes to the Columbus Blue Jackets, he's going to disappear quickly. As look at Marchessault and Riley, they went to Florida and now they're in the spotlight in Vegas. So sometimes if you're down in Florida or in not a huge market, hockey market, because we all know Ohio is big on football. I don't even know. An interesting thing while I'm talking about hockey teams being known in their towns. I heard today the Colorado Avalanche aren't even talked about in Denver. It's all Denver Broncos. It's Denver Broncos every day.
Which is not surprising because Denver was
not
terrible.
Which is not surprising. So if you're
Nuggets,
a player,
sure, you know. Like.
Yeah, and they, they're kind of right at the top with Golden State. But it's a lot of players do it. They go down to a place where, you know, it's not a big hockey market, and they, you know, work on their game or whatever they got to do. But do you get the Vancouver Canucks list in front of you there, Quinn?
Yeah, actually, let me grab that for you. Here we are. Okay, Vancouver. We got Beagle, Horvat, and Pettersson, Besser, McEwen, Roussel, Erickson, Miller, Sutter, Gaudette, Mott, Vertanen, Hoglander, and Pearson for the forwards. Defensemen, we got Ben, Hamonich, and Myers, Chatfield, Hughes, and Schmidt, Edler, and Yolevi. Goaltenders, Demko, and Holtby, obviously. Taxi squad, we got Bailey, DiPietro, Rafferty, Brisebois, Michaelis, and Rathbone. And I got to say, that lineup is solid. The only thing I might
Not bad for a sixth place team in the North Division, though.
No, not bad at all. I mean, you know, when you're, sixth place team in the North Division. Yeah, I mean, you know, like if you were to move, you know, Hoglander, most likely, because Erickson's been put on waivers, most likely Hoglander's going to be moving into a top and or bottom six. Tanner Pearson's always dangerous. The kid, I mean, he's been dangerous since he played with LA.
GSN's got him on the second line with Pearson and Horvat.
Yeah.
Hoglander.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be real fun to watch tonight. Either Edmonton's going to get lit up early or it's going to be a gunfight from minute one. And in either case, I am looking forward to it, my friend.
No, I strongly think Vancouver's got the upper hand. That, as I'm looking at it right now, Holtby is the projected starter versus the Oilers, and they got Demko riding the pine, so... It's going to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to staying up late and watching some of that Western Gladiator fight. So
worst comes to worst, I mean, that just means Demko plays the next game, which I think is like tomorrow or something like that, isn't it? You know, I think we're playing back to back right out of the gate.
And that's the importance, like, you know, to have two solid goalies, because you're going to have that 5 games in 7 days, Vancouver. It's going to have the same situation as Winnipeg. Winnipeg starts Thursday, but they're going to have 5 games in 7 days. So it's going to be a dogfight. You know, I'm going to ask you this before I forget. Are you going to be tired of watching Cassian punch Tkachuk's lights out for about 9 or 10 times throughout the 56 games?
Dude, is anybody tired of that? I mean, that's what sells the game, right? Like, yeah. Fighting for years and forever, as much as people would hate to say it, fighting sells the game. You know, even if you have to throw players out, fighting is still what brings you to the rink. You know, you want to see a tussle, you want to see the Donnybrook, you want to see two guys just go at it fist to fist, and that's the way it's going to be. You know, and yeah, they're trying to curb it. And sure, I mean, they're curbing it a little bit. It's not like back in the 80s or the 70s where guys used to just haymaker for 5 minutes and, you know, tire themselves out. You know, now it's like maybe, a minute and a half is the typical tussle. And then, you know, if that, before the refs get involved, and even in the playoffs, it's like, no, we're not having this. But fighting is still a part of the game. And so Cassian and Tkachuk, it's not going to be a tiring thing, to be honest. Tkachuk kind of has a history with Vancouver. We kind of passed on him in favor of Yolevi, and in all fairness, a lot of Vancouver fans, myself included, thought that was a giant mistake because, you know, Tkachuk was the reigning Memorial Cup MVP and Yolevi, wasn't. But then they were like, well, Yolevi was the defenseman. We haven't drafted a defenseman in a while, and he was part of that team. So we all kind of went along with it, but I mean, now we're talking, 2012, 2013, he was drafted, or 2014. So, I mean, we're talking 6 years later and Yolevi has just cracked the opening day squad. So a lot of Vancouver fans, you know, are waiting to see what this kid is going to do. His comparable is Nicholas Lidstrom, and I hope he lives up to it, to be honest.
I love it, buddy. And we're going to get your Vancouver Canuck final thoughts later. I'm going to roll down the Ottawa Senators projected opening night roster. Obviously, got Matt Murray in nets, Marcus Holberg. I'm not sure where he came from. He's going to be the backup in Ottawa. I love Thomas Chabot. Got to watch him here in St. John, New Brunswick, neighboring community to Nova Scotia. Thomas Chabot's going to do some great things. He someday down the road, he's going to be the next Victor Hedman in the NHL, 100%. Eric Grabner's
certainly invested in him. I mean,
he's a big dude. I watched him here in the queue, and he's going to be the next Victor Hedman. Some people watching Ottawa, that's my prediction. He's going to be the next Victor Hedman, and he's going to win some hardware, a lot of hardware down the road. And they got Eric Grabnerson paired with Chabot, Mike Riley, Nikita Zaitsev. I know Leaf fans know who Zaitsev is. Christian Wolanin, Josh Brown, and I believe Braden Colburn was a Vancouver Canuck, so if my memory serves me correctly.
I don't believe so, no. I'm trying to think of who he was with, but it definitely wasn't Vancouver.
Okay, maybe it was Philly or
yeah.
But
trust me, I would have remembered that name.
Colburn rounds out the D core, and Kachuk, Norris, Batherson. Going to be nice to see Drake Batherson. Watched him here in the queue. Tim Stutzel, what a stud he was at World Juniors. He's going to be on the left side with Derek Stefan and Evgeny Dandanoff, Nick Paul, Tierney, Chris Connor Brown. Leaf fans know who Connor Brown is. Sad to see him go, but he came over in the Zaitsev trade. Cedric Paquette, I believe he just won a Stanley Cup there with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Going to add some sandpaper to the Colin White, Austin Watson line. And Alex Galchenyuk seems like he's been bounced around to every team in the league. Found a place on the – he's the odd guy out with Anisimov in Ottawa. So that rounds out the Ottawa Senators' projected opening night roster who play the Leafs this Friday. So who's not going to want to see a Friday, Saturday, Ottawa, Toronto tilt, man? It's going to be great. It's all seven teams going to play, what, 9 or 10 times. And the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is, you know, that old 94 playoff run that Toronto and Vancouver had to reunite in this year's North Division. So that's going to be great to see. And yeah, it's great to see Montreal and Ottawa, but it's nice to see that Vancouver, Calgary, they play a lot more than what they're used to playing. So you got the Montreal Canadian lineup there in front of you?
Yeah, let me just grab it here. Braden Colburn, just to be clear, he was an Atlanta Thrasher, then a Philadelphia Flyer, then a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and of course this year Ottawa Senators. Okay. So just so you're aware there. And all right, so we're on to Montreal, right?
Montreal.
All right, so Montreal didn't give me the opening night lineup. I just have their roster. So let me just translate this from French. There we go. Okay, so we've got Gallagher, Suzuki, Kotkaniemi, Anderson, Deneau, Armia, Byron, Lekkonen, Evans, Toffoli, Tatar, and Drouin as your forwards. Your defensemen are Weber, Chetio, Petrie, Romanoff, Edmondson, Meat, and Kulak. The goalies are, of course, Price and Allen, as we mentioned before. Taxi squad is Poehling, Frolik, and Perry, and Cale Fleury and Charlie Lindgren, apparently, as well. So that's your current taxi squad.
Yeah, where do you put Corey Perry? Unless,
let's be honest. Corey Perry is a far cry away from London Knights 2004. He's a far cry away from Stanley Cup Anaheim 2006. 2007. My apologies. You're right. That was the year Luongo should have won the Hart Trophy. But that's another story for another time.
hey, BC native Scotty Niedermayer won MVP, won playoff MVP.
I'm aware he's the guy who scored that goal in double overtime against Luongo after Luongo had to go to the washroom. Anyway, but a long story short. in terms of Corey Perry, I would see, truth be told, I see him as bottom six depth. Definitely somebody who can still do things at this level, but he's not, he doesn't have the speed and the step that he used to. So he's not going to get first line minutes. He'll probably get maybe third line minutes, possibly second power play if they're looking to like get somebody who just, you know, like you can put him in front of the net, he can take abuse, you know, and he's there. So there is that option. But that's where I see him.
Love it. Love it, man. And finally, we got the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm going to run down the Toronto Maple Leafs projected opening night lineup. I don't like it because Nick Robertson right now is not in the starting lineup. He's my rookie of the year candidate. We'll get to hardware here shortly. But here we go. We got Freddie Anderson, Jack Campbell, two goaltenders, Morgan Riley, TJ Brody, Muzzin, Justin Hall, Travis Dermott, Zach Bogosian, rounding out the D-core, and Jumbo Joe, Matthews and Marner, Jimmy Vesey, Tavares, Nylander, Ilya Mikheyev, Kerfoot, Hyman, Babarinov, Spezza, and Simmons, and unfortunately, Nick Robertson is in the taxi squad. I don't have the taxi squad up on my computer, but it's unfortunate that Robertson is on the taxi squad. I know Adam Brooks is there. Boyd is also there. And I believe Mika Lehtinen. Mika Lehtinen is also on. And that's one guy that people were in awe on Saturday. Mika Lehtinen was unbelievable. It's funny that 2D scored the shootout goals, Morgan Riley and Mika Lehtinen. But, hey, it's a 56-game year season, and we're going to see a lot more of Robertson this year. And who knows, Sheldon Keefe's going to give Alex Babarinov a fair shake. And we may see Robertson sooner than we think. So that rounds up the seven teams or projected opening night lineup. Do you want to add anything else to your 1-7? You just want to?
Nope. We are all good. I am set. So, you know, I mean, a lot of Canucks fans are going to go after me for it, but I got them at 3, and it's not because they won't be able to compete. They will be able to compete. It's just Calgary is going to be really, really tough. So
who's your, if you have to change, say in a month or so, if you change your 1-7 or your top four, who do you think maybe in the top four when the season is going in about a month or so?
Depending on how Edmonton does, I may move them from 2. That would be, as I said, it would depend on how they do. And the biggest thing is their goaltending. We both know that their goaltending is going to be an issue. It's the one thing. It's not like we're talking about the 80s Oilers where they were stacked from every single angle. We know they're stacked on offense. Defense is kind of a meh. But their goaltending is a big hole. And until they fill that hole, they're not really going to do much of anything, to be honest.
My only change would maybe be Vancouver from 6-3. Calgary, the only reason I think Calgary would falter, everyone's banking on Markstrom having an amazing season. And it's true. Markstrom is Calgary's best goalie since Mika Kiprusoff. So a lot of people are banking Calgary to finish 3 because of Markstrom. But I honestly think in a month or two, you can see Vancouver in 3. Toronto, Montreal are going to stay there between 1 and 2. Calgary may get bumped out by Vancouver. Edmonton, Winnipeg can shift. Ottawa, unfortunately, still stays at 7. But hey, they can make a surprising run and maybe 5th or 6th. But they're only going to choose. Only the top four are going to make the playoffs out of the North Division. So I see Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, or Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg, kind of maybe going back and forth, but as of right now, I've got, you know, Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, and Edmonton in my top four. But obviously, that's going to change throughout this short 56-game season. So that's all from 1-7. Let's move on to hardware. So starting with the Hart Trophy, who do you think is going to win league MVP?
Well, I think McDavid is going to take a stride forward. If he has the mentality that I think he has, he's going to be like Michael Jordan, where he's going to take the fact that Draisaitl won the Hart and he didn't personally. I expect him to have a really, really good season to basically outskate pretty much everybody on the ice. So it would not surprise me to see McDavid walk away with the Hart Trophy. In terms of the Vezina is going to be interesting. I don't see Hellebuck winning it again, but I could see Jacob Markstrom possibly making a play for it. In all fairness, he should have been nominated last year. Didn't happen, but it is what it is. So I see Markstrom possibly running away with the Vezina. In terms of the Norris, right now everybody's saying that the Hughes-McCarr battle is going to continue now that they're not in the Calder race. So that should be interesting.
In you that don't case, have Victor Hedman as your Norris Trophy winner?
Hedman's good, don't get me wrong. And Hedman's sort of still in his prime, but at the same time, like, when you're looking at a guy like Quinn Hughes or a guy like Cale Makar, and their comparisons are like Bobby Orr and Paul Coffey, respectively, you can't ignore that. I mean, when you're watching Quinn Hughes on his edges and he's going around people like they're pylons, you can't ignore that. You really can't. So it's going to be interesting. I'm not envying the voters on the Norris on that one. In terms of Coach of the Year, at some point I have a feeling Coach Green is going to win it for Vancouver. The only problem is that the Jack Adams curse. Anybody who wins it, their team doesn't make the playoffs the next year. So it is something to keep in mind. But there are a lot of coaches out there that could make a play for the Jack Adams Trophy.
Rocket Richard prediction.
Oh, Rocket Richard. Man, that's a tough one. Normally I'd say Ovi because, well, let's face it, Ovi's just a goal scoring machine, but at some point Ovi's going to have to step back. Crosby, same thing. Malkin, same thing. Just in terms of where they were drafted, at some point they do have to take a step back just in terms of their ability. I could see Dreisaitl going after the Rocket Richard, just in terms of goals, so, and or McDavid. For that matter.
Love it, my man. Here's my hardware predictions, starting off with the rookie. It's unfortunate. I did pick Robertson in my video last night. He's not going to be playing tonight. Question I have, though, is he still going to go with the 25 games to be eligible for the Rookie of the Year, even though it's 56 games? I don't know how that's going to be determined on how many games you have to play to be eligible for Rookie of the Year. But I'm sticking with Nick Robertson. Huge shout out to the boys over at we've got to give the Title Town Take boys some huge praise. I know we lost in the border battle. I can't wait till this week's over and we can not have to praise those guys. But hey, I'm gonna give some love to Zegras, man, and I think he's going to have a very phenomenal year with Anaheim, but I got to stick with my boy Nick Robertson for Rookie of the Year. And I'm going to stay local and pick Nathan MacKinnon. He's going to come away with the Hart Trophy. He's going to come away with the playoff MVP. Does he win the scoring race? No, I believe that's going to go to Austin Matthews. Vezina is going to Vasilevsky in Tampa Bay. And I got to go with Victor Hedman, as I said last night, for the Norris Trophy Best Defensive Player in the National Hockey League. So as far as coach, hey, keeping it local, we've got to go with our boy Rick Bowness. First-year head coach, he's been after that position for a long time, so we've got to give it to that man. He's been doing a phenomenal job for 20-odd years, so I hope hope the Dallas Stars can do big things, and Rick Bowness takes the hardware at the end of the year. So,
yeah, mad respect for Rick Bowness. That guy was the head coach of Ottawa years ago, but he took the assistant role. He was an assistant with Vancouver in the 2011 Cup run. Mad respect to Rick Bowness. He's gone through a lot, and I'm very, very happy that he's the head coach of Dallas. And last year, he came fairly close to winning it. So, hopefully good things happen for him because he's a nice guy. In terms of my Calder pick, if he can stick and stay, and I mean that in every sense of the word, it's going to be Nils Höglander of Vancouver. And the main reason, I mean, you've seen what this kid can do in the Swedish Elite League, And there's no doubt he's going to be able to do that in the NHL.
Did Pedersen win the Rookie of the Year?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So maybe he's got his fellow countrymen on his side. And Hoglund, Hoglander, I believe, is a Swedish-born player. And
he is.
Yeah. And Pedersen can kind of say, hey, man, I got the trophy here. You teach us something.
Here's your blueprint.
Here's your blueprint. Yes. On winning the Rookie of the Year. But, you know, it's going to be a battle. I hope Nick Robertson plays enough games to be eligible. And if he does play enough games to be eligible, he's my pick to win. But I've got to give some love for the States and the boys over at Titletown Dakes for their boys' egress. I strongly believe if Getzlaff and the boys over in Anaheim can help that kid win the trophy, he's going to be deserving to win. So
much love to our friends Ian Beauchesne and our brothers in podcasting at Titletown Takes. Congratulations for the United States winning the 2021 World Juniors. I think I've covered my end of our bet, so we're good there.
I think it'll be at the end of the week. I may have it covered, but hey, if we had Kirby Doc, it might have been a different story. But man, that USA team, call them cocky, call, you know, people on their backs for that garbage. Sorry, it wasn't a garbage can. People have that
mistake. A barrel.
It was a barrel that they, you know, lugged up mountains and all that good stuff to help train. But hey, let's give as much love as we can to those boys over at Titletown Takes and their boy Zegris coming out of Boston University, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So
born in the fires of Boston University.
Yeah. So hey, if Nick Robertson doesn't have enough games, I'm going with Zegris. And do we see? Okay, so there's 56 games being played. It's safe to say we won't see a 50 goal score. If we see a 50 goal score in 56 games, then that person's going to be on the same page as Wayne Gretzky. But he scored 50 in less than 50 games, and different time. Nobody's going to score 50 goals in 56 games. Can you agree with me?
Sadly, those days are over. I mean, you know, and it's been that way ever since, you know, well, let's be honest. It's been that way ever since, like, Pavel Bure retired, you know, and you could say what you want about Ovi, and sure, 50 goals for him in a full season is possible. But at the same time, when you're prorating the games, there's no way in heck you're going to have anybody who hits 50. If you get somebody who hits,
you might 20, say 40. 30, you might see 41. I doubt you'd see 43, 44. They got Matthews right now projected to win the Rocket scoring. I think he scored over 38 goals, but I'm not getting Marner on his center, right?
Marner's center.
And you got Joe Thornton, but how long does Joe? That's another question for like the experts on how long do we actually see Joe Thornton being on the top line? He's going to be mixed. It's going to be a mixed match all year. It's great to see, though, Keith has Matthews on a penalty kill situation at 55% face-off rate. So, hey, it's great to be a Leafs fan, and it's going to be great to be a Vancouver Canucks fan. And imagine Vancouver finishes in the top four, and it's a Toronto-Vancouver and maybe a Calgary-Edmonton playoff. That would be unreal. Battle of Alberta and a Toronto and Vancouver. But hey, Montreal Toronto wouldn't be too bad either. But I'm really looking forward to the Western matchups. I missed that 94 series, and Adams killed us in 94, and Kirk McLean was the better goalie at the end of that series. And it'll be great to see it once again, the Vancouver Toronto rematch of the 94 playoff. So anything else you'd like to add, Quinn, to the this upcoming 56?
I mean just one thing, you know, about the jersey I'm wearing. As you can see, I'm rocking the old school stick and rink, number 28, Luc Bourdon, the man, the myth, the legend, Saint Luke. There you go. Shipigan, New Brunswick's very own, God rest his soul. So there's that. In terms of the 56 games, I cannot wait for it to get started. As a matter of fact, we're about an hour, T-minus 1 hour away from Toronto and Montreal dropping the puck. So that's going to be great. Vancouver, Edmonton tonight. I'm really looking forward to it. We've got a good slate of games. So it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, the Flyers are actually started right now. Flyers are playing right now.
They start now? Okay. All right. Yeah.
Just to say right now. So.
Oh, yeah, because NBCSN was doing the triple header tonight. I wasn't sure how they were going to fit that in. But, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, whatever works, I guess.
No, that's all, man. It's you gave me your 1-7. I gave you the 1-7. My predictions, all the hardware is going to be handed out accordingly. And, hey, I'd love to see it. 56. Sorry, I love to see a 50-goal score in 56 games, but who do you think is going to finish on the top with the points? Is it going to be Crosby, Draisaitl, McDavid? It's who do you see at the top with the most points, and how many points do you see that player achieving in 56 games?
It's going to be a battle of the mix. It's going to be McDavid versus McKinnon the entire season. Okay. I don't see Crosby finishing on top of points unless Malkin has a spectacular year. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But I see it going to be, changing the guard. McKinnon, McDavid are going to be going at it all season tooth and nail. In terms of who finishes it up, I could easily see Nathan McKinnon at the top of that list. Just in terms of minutes played, I could see McKinnon at the top of the list.
How many? What's your projected point total for the guy on top?
Oh man, for 56 game season, projected point total probably about maybe about 78 to 80 around there.
Wow.
I mean that's like the super spectacular player. Like we're talking
2 points over per game, McGee.
2 points, yeah, that's, 2 points.
That's McGee's achievable 2 points per game.
So. I'm not saying it's not doable. I'm just saying
1.76 points per game is
exactly
what's popping up right now on the computer. So.
I could see 78 to 80 being our top end. If one of them hits 100 points in 56 games, the entire league may have to rethink an 82 game schedule.
Yeah, they'll make the nets smaller or something. Our goalie experiment didn't work. I think they already expanded the nets because there wasn't enough goal scoring. Now they're, if someone gets 100 points, there's some guy and we got to make the net smaller, for the weaker teams. But
yeah, well, they did make
that considerably
less in terms of depth because that's what led to a bunch of pucks like being fired and being shot back out because the nets were like too tight. So that's what they originally did was they shortened up the back end of the net so that it wasn't as deep, which is a shame because, I mean, everybody got used to seeing pucks like this is a clear goal as opposed to this was shot in and came out and really quickly and it's kind of messed up. But, now refs have to go back and look at the film and see if it's actually a goal. So, yeah, so there's that drawback. But yeah.
Well, I got Matthews on Toronto's number one being number one in points. I had him around 63, 64. I don't think it'll be, a Woodbine race to come right out of the gate flying. I think it's going to take a little while. They're going to start just get going. It might take, two weeks or so to get going. And, finally, once they're all fired on all cylinders in the next month, then they start going. So it's going to be a possible slow start to the season. So you can see, maybe Matthews finishing with 64 points, and then obviously McDavid finishing around the 70 plus plateau. And right now, it's going to be the McDavid McKinnon show. It's the NHL. It's the show, as a lot of people call it. But it's going to be the McDavid McKinnon show, and they're going to finish with 70 plus points. But at the end of the year, I think McKinnon's going to have his turn to win the Rocket. The Hart Trophy, the league-leading goal scorer, and maybe have three or four trophies at the end of this season. So those are my predictions, man. As always, it's a treat. You stay safe out in Vancouver. I know that the cases are are different out there than they are to the Maritimes, but man, it's always a pleasure having you on and providing NHL talk to Offside Talk.
Well, it's always a pleasure being on your show, Jamie, and thank you again for having us. Stay safe, stay happy, stay well out there, not only to yourself and, of course, your crew out there, but also to our listeners. Stay safe, stay happy, stay well, and you know, once COVID is over, no doubt we'll be celebrating the way we should. In the meantime, we have to celebrate Donald Trump being impeached today for the second time, so yeah. I'm going to go enjoy that. And with that said, y'all have a great night out there in Radio Land, and thank you so much for tuning in to Offside Hockey Talk.
Thank you very much, Quinn, and I will say this episode is brought to you by the fine folks over at Titletown Takes, Ian, Connor, and Cam. Boys, it was a great battle, but at the end of the night, Team USA did win the World Juniors, and can't wait to experience a new battle next year. And Canada's not gonna take that loss lightly. We're gonna come back even stronger next year and make sure we're not on the ice to see a USA win. So, yeah. As always, my friend, it's a pleasure, and we'll talk soon. And can't wait to see Vancouver hit the ice when they play the Edmonton Oilers in their first game in this COVID season. So,
and the same is true of the Leafs as well in the next 49 minutes. Here's hoping that y'all don't go to a shootout so you don't wind up preempting my game on Sportsnet, because Sportsnet always likes to stay with the Leafs and Canadiens when you go to a shootout and preempt Vancouver and Edmonton, which is unfortunate, but that's a way of life. So, you know, here's hoping y'all have a good season, and we'll talk later when we're getting ready for the playoffs.
Very good, my friend. You take care of yourself.
All right, you too, man.
There you have it, folks. That was Alan Corkum, play-by-play announcer for the OJHL's Georgetown Raiders, also co-host of Ringside, which covers the OJHL in Ontario, Canada. This episode has been brought to you by our fine folks over at Titletown Takes. Make sure you give Ian, Connor, and Cam a follow at Titletown Takes. And, of course, at Offside Talk on Twitter. That's at Offside Talk on Twitter.